The following episode includes vivid and immersive descriptions and experiences of sleep paralysis. Listener discretion is advised. It was late, even for writer Brandon Tan living in New York City. The honking in the distance had ceased, even for a little bit. Just like those tiny gaps of silence between waves crashing in the ocean. The room was dark, just like any other night. Brandon was expecting the evening to be uneventful. Also, just like any other night. Suddenly, Brandon's eyes snapped open wide, lips sealed shut. Brandon tried to turn around to move even just a single muscle, but it was no use. Brandon was completely unable to move. The mischievous giggles he experienced got louder. Every breath that the invisible force seemed to take, it seemed to get darker, raspier, and with a creepier sound. Brandon struggled, half aware that the sounds he was experiencing were not possible. He tried to shake himself awake. His arms, his legs, nothing responded. Then he started hearing the distant howling coming closer, taking over his room with strong gusts of wind. Brandon shut his windows every single night, and tonight was no exception. Powerless, he stared into the darkness, waiting for whatever or whoever was causing this to stop. It is a phenomena unlike any other, with roots in stories about demons in ancient cultures to early written accounts back in the 10th century. But it has also been acknowledged by scientific research. It happens when you're at your most vulnerable state. A state where our ancestors knew that we could be killed if we failed to hear the faint sounds of a threat approaching. It happens when you're sleeping. My name is Edwin. Here is a dark memory. Writer Akawaini, who lived in 10th century Persia, left behind the first written mention of sleep paralysis in a manuscript loosely translated as A Guide to Medical Learners. It was the first of three that was written detailing human anatomy, physiology, and ways to treat many diseases. In that work, there was a chapter dedicated to sleep paralysis. The interesting thing about this is that the next time the phenomenon was clinically described, it was published in a case from an unknown Dutch physician, written in 1664. But the doctor did not refer to the occurrence as sleep paralysis, or a translation of it, but rather incubus, or the nightmare. The faint light of the alarm clock with the numbers 2:56 a.m. shine off in the side of your room, illuminating nothing but the dark air next to your bed. You're awake again, and you don't know why. Suddenly, the red light that makes up the numbers goes dark. Someone has walked in front of it. In a panic, you try to turn your head to see who roams inside your bedroom, but you are unable to. Completely disabled now. You hear someone lurking in the dark when suddenly you feel her climb onto your bed. An old, wrinkled woman with dirty gray hair. Something about her eyes makes her seem inhuman. You look at her as she climbs to your chest and sits there. The pressure from her cold body is intense. And you begin to feel your lungs squeeze against the rest of your body and your breathing become shallow. Your heartbeat, you still have a pulse, but it's slowing down. You try to extend your neck and adjust your chest to get just a little more air. You gasp and try with all your might to turn around, but it is no use. This demon, be gone, now. You shut your eyes. It is over. You Consider yourself lucky to be going without having to look at this evil creature in the eye anymore. This is the old hag, or known as the Pisaveira, translated as She Who Steps, said to be an old woman who enters your room and sits on your chest, making you unable to move. She is believed to be a demon or dark spirit, sometimes summoned to punish those in their sleep who have wronged someone else. Other times, they say, she arrives as part of the place where you sleep. If your home is haunted by an evil entity, she might show up, hungry for the energy of the living. She will make herself known. Footsteps on the roof, they told you when you were young, came from the Pisadeira, where she lives. And at night, they say, she strikes. And as you lay in bed, she approaches with her dirty long nails and long hook nose. All you can see of the tall, skinny old woman are her glowing eyes. They're red. Did you go to bed with a full stomach? Big mistake. She's coming after you. She'll then climb onto your bed and step on your chest. Sleep paralysis is called kanashibari in Japan, a word rooted in Buddhism because people used to believe that Buddhist monks had the power to use magic and paralyze each other. In China, it is called ghost oppression. With different versions of the same strange occurrence coming from different parts of the world, the scientific community became interested in the topic and formal research has taken place. Now we can finally understand some reasons of why this happens to the unlucky estimated 8% of the population that experience sleep paralysis. Unfortunately, the amount of research is not enough to bring forth much comforting information for those who suffer from it. And also doesn't answer what we want to know, why it happens and how to prevent it. However, there are still some things that have worked as a treatment. Scientists say that sleep paralysis is where a person becomes conscious of their body's atonia, which is paralysis of the body during the sleep cycle, known as rapid eye movement, or REM. Being paralyzed helps you avoid acting out your dreams. If you're running your dreams, your body will not be able to move its legs and accelerate your breathing, keeping dreams where they belong until you wake up. Some causes include insomnia, or if you have odd sleeping patterns, narcolepsy, panic disorders, or any type of anxiety disorder. There are many more, and the best way to sort this out is to see your doctor and talk to them about it. Some solutions are surprisingly simple, such as getting good sleep and exercising. At certain points in my own life, I have had hallucinations after waking up suddenly. And one theory for this is that one part of the person's mind is conscious, while the other is still in the stage of their sleep cycle. So reality and dreams are blurred, not in a good way. But it has been this way for a long time, with people making works detailing the existence of demons with drawings and detailed explanations of what they've seen. What do demons have to do with this? Well, that's what we'll look at, along with some real testimonials of creepy experiences with sleep paralysis, including one from our own researcher for this episode. Before modern medicine and science helped explain this phenomenon, people believed that sleep paralysis was caused by demons. And it had been that way for a large part of history. One of the oldest is the theory of the incubus and the succubus that has been offered by people who have suffered from sleep paralysis, their families, and one of the largest and earliest influencers, the church. When men would suffer from sleep paralysis, they would experience a combination of intruder hallucinations along with the pressure on their chest. They would explain it as feeling attacked and violated by a succubus demon. A succubus demon is a female demon from folklore that visits men in their sleep, or disguised, and mate with a man to capture his seed. This is where the incubus demon plays a role, essentially serving as a male version of the succubus. Succubus visits a female during an episode of sleep paralysis and impregnates the woman with the demon seed that it obtained when they were the succubus. And so Middle Eastern cultures use explanations like this to explain sleep paralysis, saying that the hallucinations are actually a jinn. A supernatural creature romanticized as a genie sometimes. The jinn arrives wearing a hat. If you can move and snatch the hat, you will earn a reward. An anonymous Reddit user posted such a story explaining an experience that they had back when they were in their mid-20s, but had already experienced it before. One night, they had their jacket hung on the corner of their closet door when they had an episode of sleep paralysis. In place of the jacket, the user could see a woman wearing it, with her back turned. Unable to move, the person remembered that someone was laying next to them in bed. This person tried to yell, but nothing came out. Suddenly, the woman wearing the jacket in the corner of the room started turning slowly to her side. That's when they were able to recognize her. It was this person's cousin, who had died the previous year. She was standing there, staring at the closet mirror. She must have been around 7 to 10 years old, completely unaware of the terrors that come at night. She got into bed and promptly fell asleep. Then she opened her eyes and was unable to move the rest of her body. There was pressure against her chest. Someone was trying to stop her from breathing. The confusion soon grew into a panic when her breaths got shorter. The weight on top of her chest making breathing impossible as she gasped for air. Unable to adjust her body to take the invisible weight off her, she began to wonder if this is how her young self would go. Suddenly, she heard the familiar sound of a cat meowing and hissing. And then off from the corner of her eye, she saw one of her cats walk into her room. She was able to move again. Ever since, Madeline, the researcher for the facts in this episode, has experienced episodes of sleep paralysis about once a year. But then, with changes in her mental health and sleep habits, she started experiencing them even more, even weekly, and during naps sometimes. In her own words, "I sometimes hear things. The main hallucination I experience is chest pressure hallucinations. I feel like someone is either sitting on my chest and holding my body down, or I feel like something is holding a pillow on top of my face, trying to suffocate me." Though she can usually not open her eyes, she still sometimes hears things, which can be equally terrifying. We still hear about sleep paralysis in movies such as Mara, Dead Awake, and The Nightmare. Netflix has included the topic in a mini-series known as The Haunting of Hill House, where one of the characters suffers from sleep paralysis. There we can see her own demon personified and her experience dealing with it growing up. The amount of material available on sleep paralysis is abundant, and you can find countless books, documentaries, and YouTube videos on the subject with a quick search. But beware. Some of these explanations are more sinister than others. And remember that you cannot unlearn what you see. Where do we go when we dream? How do we see what we see when we're sleeping, and how does our mind wander to such unusual dreams? Do you ever wonder who watches you when you sleep? There's no way of knowing. For centuries, people have asked these questions, and for centuries more, they've come up with explanations that involve evil entities, demons, and other creatures to explain our nightmares. But it is different when these come to life. When we see them there in our room, in the darkness of our safe place, the old hag, the demons approaching, ready to climb on top of you as you feel your lungs get squeezed and out of air. You try to breathe, but you can't. Then they leave. You're left there, in a state of fantasy and reality, wondering if you may have discovered another realm. No, you think to yourself. There must be a different explanation, you say. After all, in the end, you get to choose what to believe. Dark Memory is produced by me, Edwin Covarrubias, with research by Madeline Guerra. Visit adarkmemory.com for more information and to find ways to get in touch. Also, be sure to follow A Dark Memory on your podcast app to stay up to date with new episodes. Until next time, thank you very much for listening.